Yeah, hi, this is Lucas Barfield, and you have turned into the Cannabis Corner right here on KTAH 101.9 FM right here in Tacoma, a.k.a. Radio Tacoma, so thanks for tuning in. And today we are going to talk about the pros and cons of medical marijuana later on in the show during our topic segment. But I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. I actually heard the show for the first time on 101.9 over the airwaves the other day, and it was very exciting. I do appreciate everybody for tuning in, and I do want to thank the people at Radio for Tacoma for putting this on the airwaves. I'm a cannabis writer and cannabis activist around Tacoma and Washington State, and I just think this is a great way to get out information about marijuana or cannabis in out there on the airwaves, because it is something in our community that is all around us, and it isn't talked about a whole lot, and frankly, not a lot of people know much about it. So thanks for checking the show out. For the next 30 minutes or so, we'll be going over some headlines, and then we will go over our topic for today, which, like I was saying, is for the pros and cons of medical marijuana, and then we'll have our It's a Bus segment at the end of the show. So thanks for tuning in. You can follow what I'm doing on Twitter, as far as cannabis goes, at MJIsMedicine. So let's get right to the headlines. The first story comes out of Mississippi. And this story involves the Supreme Court of Mississippi, and it actually overturned a marijuana conviction. And I have to say, this is very rare. This is why I put it on the headlines. And it has to do with two gentlemen that were driving in Mississippi on the interstate. They were pulled over. Both were arrested and sentenced to prison for having an untold amount of marijuana in their car. It must have been a large amount, because the one gentleman, and his name was Marvin Carter, he was in the car with his brother-in-law and was thrown into jail, although the brother-in-law said, hey, that was my marijuana, my cannabis in the back of the car. Marvin Carter was sentenced to 7 years in prison. And this went all the way up through the Supreme Court, and on a 7-0 vote, the Supreme Court says, no, you can't put Marvin Carter in prison for just being near the marijuana in the car when the brother-in-law said it was his. Now, for me, I think this is a big deal because, you know, I have seen people get in trouble and arrested for just being in a car with somebody with cannabis. I don't know really what went on with the trial or whatever, but I do know that the police will often arrest people for just being in the car with people that are carrying marijuana in their pocket on their person, or in this case, a large amount. They took both men to jail and went all the way through the trial and sentenced the one man to 7 years in prison. So good for Marvin Carter for taking that all the way to Supreme Court in Mississippi and getting that overturned. So our next story comes out of Colorado, and it is talking about how marijuana is saving lives in Colorado. And this has to do with the opiate epidemic, a story we cover on this show from time to time. In the American Journal of Public Health, they released a study, or a research study. This is very preliminary information that talks about that the first 2 years after marijuana was legalized in Colorado. Now, we already know, let's back up here. There are studies out there already that say that states that have medical marijuana programs, the opiate overdoses go down by 25%. So we already knew that. That's out there, been widely published, widely talked about. Now in Colorado, they have a study just released that talks about the recreational marijuana, which frankly is way more accessible than medical marijuana, because you don't have to jump through any hoops. You can just walk into the store and buy it. The opiate overdose rate dropped by 6% in the next 2 years. So I think Colorado dispensaries or shops they legalized it in 2012. By 2014, they had them up. So, you know, 2014, 2015, 2016, roughly that area there, it dropped 6% of overdoses just because of recreational marijuana. I mean, that's something we could say that's a correlation. But it is a drop in that, and it is a strong correlation between the two. And they say in the study they say in the study, you know, keep an eye out on this, and they're going to keep studying this. And they use Nevada, which can't anymore because they legalized recreational marijuana, but they were using Nevada as a control because at the time Nevada did not have recreational marijuana. So, you know, keep an eye out on this. This would be great if we could get some more proof that medical marijuana or just marijuana itself would help with the opiate crisis. And I really think it would if our lawmakers would get a backbone and actually step up and talk about this a little more. We can make some headway on this. And here's another study sort of backing that up. Our next story is something that we cover all the time on this show, and this is African Americans are 8 times more likely to get arrested in Pennsylvania as whites. Now, I'm not even really going to talk about that headline. I'm not even going to dig into the numbers. We're not going to get digging into what towns had the most arrests, because you can find it online. But it just goes back again how the drug war has been used. In our next story, we'll talk about this too. But the drug war is being used by the state to terrorize and just go after members of minority and poor communities. Now, whether this is intentional or whether this is a concerted effort altogether, or whether I kind of lean towards it's just we live in a white supremacist society and it's just habit. The police forces have been trained, and that's where we need to go to arrest people, is in the African-American communities. They don't go into the white communities trolling around looking for people to arrest. They're pulling over more African-Americans than white people often. So this is why this happens. And, you know, there's a lot of great police officers out there. You know, we love them. They're protecting our communities. But this is just a story that happens over and over and over again, and it's really hard to determine why, because it's not just in Pennsylvania. It's in every single state in the United States. African Americans are 3 to 15 times more likely to get arrested for marijuana than their white counterparts, even though they use at the same rate. So this is just another example in Pennsylvania, and so we need to try to correct that. Now, the next story we have is out of Los Angeles. So if you've been paying attention, you know that California just legalized recreational marijuana, although they have legalized medical marijuana since 1996, and it's just marijuana is a big thing in California. It's always been a big thing. They produce billions of pounds of marijuana over what they have traditionally used within the state, so they also contribute to the illicit market. But now, and California, again, is another one of the states, just like Pennsylvania, where African Americans, poor communities, and communities of color are more likely to get arrested for marijuana than the Caucasian or white, their white counterparts. Now, this affects everybody's life in different ways, but one of the big things that will affect your life if you go out there and get a felony is it will affect your ability to get employed. So Los Angeles is actually wanting to do something about this. And I give my hat off to Los Angeles because, frankly, we need this in Washington State. So the way they're doing this is in California, they make it clear that you can't help, the city can't help people on the basis of race. So they're saying, okay, this isn't about race. This is actually about socioeconomic and arrest records. So that's what they're doing. And they're setting it out where there's 4 levels of help and you can apply, and it will help people who have been convicted of marijuana convictions and people who have had their family arrested, and it will help companies who hire people who have cannabis arrests in the past. They will give them a tax break, so that's a big deal. You can get denied if your cannabis arrest had to do with violent crimes, like if you had a gun arrest or you were in a robbery or some other reason that you had a large amount of marijuana and arrested in probably some gang issues or whatnot. This is not just a overarching bill, so maybe it won't go far enough on some of these. So this is really great that they're trying to do this down in L.A., and what they're hoping is that what they're going to do is they're going to, for every 1 license they give out to just a regular entrepreneur. They're going to give one license out to people who qualify for this program to sort of balance it out. Because LA is a big place and they're only zoning marijuana businesses in certain parts of the city. So there are people out there trying to scramble and scoop up all the licenses before other people can get them. So then they can, you know, get on this so-called green rush. So that's what they're doing to sort of make sure that people of color, minority communities, and the poor, and people who have traditionally been affected by the war on drugs get in on this green rush as well. So a great idea in Los Angeles. We would like to have that in Washington State. So keep an eye out for that. So our last in our news line is something I was sort of shocked to see. Alabama, so if you don't know, Alabama's had a special election because Jeff Sessions was appointed to the attorney general, and so they had to have a senator. So they ended up having an election and a special election, and they ended up with a guy named Doug Jones as the Democrat and Roy Moore as the Republican. And apparently Doug Jones is for legalizing marijuana. And so that's a big thing in Alabama. So we are really hoping that maybe Doug Jones can get can win this and help the Senate out, go a little more Democratic. And I've been told that even Roy Moore is not liked by a lot of Republicans down there. So he might not get in, and we'll get one more person in the Senate that will be for legalizing marijuana. Because that's what we really need. And we can talk about this more down here when we get to our It's a Bus thing, but we really need a nationwide policy to legalize marijuana nationwide so that we can sort of start from scratch and get this fixed. Because as long as it's certain places that have certain laws, there's just always going to be inequity on how those laws are enforced. We need a one-size-fits-all law all the way across the country, and Doug Jones is going to make it to the Senate and give us that. And he'll be the new senator from Alabama. So hats off to Doug Jones. So now we're going to move off to our topic for the week. And that is the pros and cons of medical cannabis. And you can find this story over on cannabisfm.com under the policy section, the pros and cons of medical marijuana. So medical marijuana has always been used for fiber, medicine, and recreation. So the plant marijuana, or cannabis sativa. Now, back in history, it was used for that. It really wasn't any, okay, it's bad or good. It was just used for these different things. In 1925, at the second opium conference in Geneva, they passed a resolution saying that countries around the world were going to start monitoring marijuana, or they called it at the time Indian hemp. And that really started hampering, you know, scientists and doctors using medical marijuana because places started making it illegal. And so it became harder to get. You would get in trouble with the authorities. So as that happened, the United States started passing their own cannabis laws. In 1931, Alabama passed one. They already had some in New York and out west. And then in 1937, they passed the Marijuana Stamp Act. And that really officially put the end to medical marijuana and even fiber and even bird seed in the United States. Cannabis used to be a big thing they used for bird seed. And one of the last Supreme Court cases about marijuana that a guy from Louisiana was trying to fight them taking the plant was based on him growing seeds for to sell his bird seed. So right around that time, 20s and 30s and 40s, it really sort of put a hamper on the research into medical marijuana. So that's where we come into the picture in 1996. There were studies and there were things, people saying, okay, this works for this and that. That's why the medical marijuana started happening in 1996, because there were some studies that had happened, especially in Israel. It's 1963, they discovered CBD, the endocannabinoid system. I don't know the scientist's name, but in Israel, they were really big into studying marijuana, still are. Israel is huge into medical marijuana. I wish we'd sort of jump on that with Israel as well. We like the Israel bandwagon. Hey, let's jump on that one. But so when people go to, and so that really interrupted the marijuana sort of trade. It interrupted marijuana commerce, research, research into medicine. And now when people go to choose medical marijuana, and more people are choosing, they're not really sure what the pros and cons are. So here are some pros and cons that I researched and kind of came up with for medical marijuana. And there are some cons, so listen up. Here we go. So pros. So pros is marijuana is very extremely safe medicine. There's been no known overdose for marijuana. There are very few side effects. And it is not physically addictive. So it's unlike a lot of pharmaceuticals in that regard. So now the con is, because it's illegal, the Federal Drug Administration does not regulate marijuana. So patients and people are left at their own devices to figure out what works best for them, and in some cases, in less regulated parts of the country, what is safe for them. So here again, this is a big con, because you don't really know all the time what is safe and effective, and that's because it's not regulated as much as other products on a federal level. So the next up is a pro, and that is, the pro is, it is very versatile. So the marijuana plant produces in its resin tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, and cannabidiol or cannabidiol, CBD. And these two materials or molecules interact with the endocannabinoid system in your body. So it's very versatile, because this system lives all around your body. So if you have a hurt ankle and you were to take some cannabis topicals and rub it on that ankle, the THC in that topical is interacting directly with your endocannabinoid cells in that area of your body, pulling your ankle and the pain and the inflammation, trying to balance all that out. So it is very versatile, because you can use it all over the body. You can, if it's in your stomach or in your internal organs, you can ingest it. If it's in things like depression and anxiety, things more with the brain and the mind, you can inhale it. If you have acute pain, you can inhale it to get rid of that real fast. So on and on it goes. It's very versatile to use in many different ways. Now, back to the FDA thing, it might take you a little research and a little digging and asking around and trial and error to figure that out, but it is versatile. Now, con is, on that very same line, is dosing can be an issue. There are really no known dosing protocols for cannabis. They're, you know, like for the cancer treatment, 1 gram of FICO or full plant extract a day. Well, how strong is that full plant extract? Where did it come from? What terpenes are in it? What THC is in it? What CBD in it? Is it on and on and on it goes? I mean, the Mayo Clinic has a little bit on the dosing that you can look at as far and figure out how much you need to take for dose for various reasons, for various ailments. But it's very little on dosing, so that is a con. So a pro for medical cannabis is you can actually grow your own medicine, or you can produce your own medicine. So in most medical cannabis states, and in frankly most recreational states except for Washington, you can grow your own cannabis at home. And so if you have a condition, rheumatoid arthritis or something, a glaucoma or some chronic pain or things like that, you can grow yours at home. And this is really good if you live in a temperate climate where you can grow outdoors, which will produce a large amount once a year. Or if you need to, you can grow indoors, which will produce a more steady, more consistent supply of marijuana. So that is a pro, because you know right where your medicine is coming from. There's a big movement today about knowing where your food comes from. In this case, you can know right where your medicine comes from, what's been put in it, what's been done to it. So that is a pro. So a con, and this is actually a pretty big con when you get into some more some conditions that take larger amounts of cannabis, such as MS or cancer, is insurance doesn't cover medical marijuana. So this is actually a big problem, because if you have a choice, a pharmaceutical that the insurance, you only got to pay $20 copay, or a medical marijuana prescription that, you know, it's expensive. It's $30 a gram for the concentrates, and I don't want to go all into the prices, but it can get really expensive. So insurance doesn't cover it. That's a big con. So, and when you're weighing whether to take pharmaceuticals or medical marijuana, that can come into play. So a pro is much of the United States is friendly to medical cannabis. And if it's not friendly to full plant medical cannabis, it's friendly to CBD cannabis or hemp. So this is good, because it's more and more the United States is saying, okay, we accept this. And as we go forward, you can almost find it in any state around the country and get a safe and consistent supply that's been tested and analyzed to make sure there's no pesticides or biocontaminants on your cannabis. So this is a good thing. So that's a pro, that there are more and more states coming online all the time for this plant, and there will be more coming up in 2018. Check it out. There are lots more states wanting to come online with medical cannabis and recreational cannabis in 2018. Marijuana, now the con on this one is marijuana is still illegal on a federal level and in a lot of states, like we were talking about in Alabama. It's still illegal. And so this is a problem for medical marijuana patients, because in parts of the country, you can still get arrested for possessing this medicine. And even in some most legal states, in a lot of jobs, they still drug test. That's a big con. And in a lot of states, not all the states, I don't know, I don't have the list, cannabis can affect your transplant eligibility. I actually have personal dealings with this. My father was actually denied a transplant because he had cannabis in his system. So that is a real big con. So keep an eye out for that. I think he was a little shocked, because he was using it to kind of help with his chemo and help with all this kind of stuff. And they said, okay, no, Mr. Barfield, you cannot have a transplant because you have cannabis in your system. So keep an eye on that. Is a big con. So that's medical marijuana pros and cons. And there are more out there. If you have some more medical marijuana pros and cons, hit me up at MJIsMedicine on Twitter. So thanks for tuning in. This is WKTAH 101.9 FM right here in Tacoma, Radio Tacoma. If you are interested in getting on Radio Tacoma, get in contact with us. Check us out at radiotacoma.org. Send us an email if you have something that you are passionate about and interested in and would like to get a show. Let us know. And we are working to get our license up. And I think we're going to be getting a music license going. So we will even be doing some shows based on music. So, you know, whatever you're interested in, you want to get out there on, this is a great opportunity to get the local community out on the airwaves right here in Tacoma. So, again, thanks to the Radio Tacoma team for getting this going. And we are going to get out of here with It's a Bust. And this one comes out of this is a three-state deal. So this guy from Minnesota hooked up with his friend from California, and they went to California. They flew to California. They rented a car. They picked up 200 pounds of marijuana. Then they tried to drive. They were going to drive it all the way back to Minnesota. Now, unfortunately, they didn't even make it as far as Oregon, because they got pulled over in Medford, Oregon, which is down in southern Oregon, so they didn't even get that far. And they were taking it back to Minnesota to sell it, and they got pulled over for speeding and driving erratically. Now, they are released, but their court date is coming up. So here again, what I was talking about before, we have an issue with men from Minnesota coming over to legal states, trying to take it back to make money. If we had a nationwide cannabis law where it's legal in all 50 states, those two men would be put out of business immediately. You don't see any nationwide bootleggers anymore. You really don't. I mean, I am sure there are some out there. If you know some nationwide bootleggers, hit me up at MJ is medicine. But that's our show for today. Thanks for tuning in again. This is KTAH.